Hello, I'm Ken McLeod, Principal Teacher at Unfettered Mind. Our website is an ongoing effort to explain Buddhist practice in a way that is clear and accessible to the Western mind without dumbing it down. If you find these teachings useful, please make a donation at unfetteredmind.org/donate so we can continue to maintain and expand the site. Thanks.
Unfettered Mind, the nuts and bolts of self and no self, 2.
This question was submitted by Alan in Tacoma, Washington. Which self is good? During a recent discussion on your Then and Now podcast series, you said that Buddhism accepts us as being essentially good and that Christianity may suggest something else. This me that's essentially good, isn't it fundamentally different from the me we typically conceive of when we use the word me? It may be congruent with the God that's essentially good, don't you think? And doesn't Buddhism describe the typically conceived me as non-existent? I'm worried, particularly in the discussion of the paramitas, that I may be developing qualities and traits and ascribing them to a me that doesn't exist, and so has no way to carry them along for me so I can use them when I need them.
Well, if we start dealing with hypotheticals, we won't get very far. When somebody expresses affection for us or insults us, most of us have a very vivid experience of I. Or me. From a Buddhist point of view, it's not so much that it is non-existent as that it's an experience. There isn't a thing that is me or I. But the experience can be very, very vivid. If we know it as an experience, then we're in touch with something else. The knowing. And in that knowing, there is no sense of I and other. There is just knowing. Now, whether that's congruent with God, I have no idea. And I don't think we can call that knowing a me. That doesn't seem to me make much sense. But it's certainly from the point of view of Buddhism that knowing is essentially good because it manifests in action and expression as compassion. So, on a practical level, whenever you notice you're referencing I or me, start labeling it as an experience, not a fact. Let's see what that does. In the last part of your question, it seems you're coming very definitely from the perspective that there is this I which exists in some way, and you're cultivating these traits which will be associated with it if it does exist, and not associated with it doesn't exist, and if it isn't doesn't exist, then you won't have any way to carry on those traits. This is a very confused way of reasoning. As a child, did you learn how to ride a bicycle? Most of us did. If you got on a bike today, would you still be able to ride it? The answer is yes. It isn't forgotten. The knowing is there. And it isn't attached to a me which exists, and equally it isn't attached to a me which doesn't exist. But it's there when we need it. And I don't think it's any more mysterious than that.
Ernesto in Montreal, Canada, asks, how do you reconcile anatta, namely non-selfhood or egolessness, with ordinary friendship and love?
It's interesting you ask about how do you reconcile them, because in friendship and love, the experience of non-self arises quite naturally. When you're with a friend, you become less conscious and less concerned with yourself, and you just experience the bond of friendship and in intimate relationships, in love relationships, that sense of just being present with the other without there being really a separate sense of self can be even more profound and deeper. So a lot of confusion arises because people are not clear about what non-self in Buddhism refers to. And they bring in this pseudo-psychological word of ego and its popular connotations, which just confuses things even further. When we talk about non-self in Buddhism, it's a way of experiencing things. So, for instance, when you look over a large open view, a very beautiful view, say a sunset or something in the Laurentian Mountains or something like that, then it's easy to become completely absorbed in the experience, and our sense of being an entity separate from things subsides. And we experience things very completely. We also experience something somewhat similar in both friendship and love. And this is what non-self refers to, that way of experiencing things.
Unfettered Mind retains all rights to these podcasts. If you wish to use part or a whole podcast, please send an email to podcasts@unfetteredmind.org.